This is a weekly roundup of the John Lothian News Daily Update for the week of January 25th, 2021. This is Patrick Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for January 25th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at eurex.com. And now a note from John Lothian. The U.S. has surpassed the 25 million COVID-19 infections level, according to data reports Sunday by Johns Hopkins University. JPX has signed a Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, with the Shanghai Stock Exchange and the Shenzhen Stock Exchange to expand creation of the trading and ETF securities. The New York Times is reporting that the IRS has moved back the date upon which it will start to receive tax returns by 2 weeks to February 12th. However, the date by which the returns are due is still April 15th, which is unchanged from the norm. The CFA Chicago is putting on a Zoom event entitled LIBOR Cessation that includes Dr. Richard Sandor among the speakers. The date of the event is February 1st, 2021, from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. TradeBot and Bats founder Dave Cummings posted to LinkedIn that his daughter Nicole Cummings has started work at Blackstone. The CFTC's newly formed division of data is searching for an attorney to manage the team in charge of setting agency-wide data policies and implementing reporting regulations. We have had a donation for our JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign, Denise Nabjian of the OCC. Denise joined the OCC in 2001 and has worked her way up to the managing director level for investor education. She is also a member of the Women in Listed Derivatives, where she is a member of the board of the Chicago chapter. Thank you to Denise and all who have given and all those who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you would like to be treated. With respect, equality, and justice. A note from John Lothian. And now a note from Tom Thompson. On the tense, unprecedented, and highly militarized Inauguration Day, our friends at professional information provider Wolters Kluwer published a free special report titled Biden Inauguration Heralds Regulatory Reset. Their deep roster of reporters, analysts, and lawyers cover the gamut of federal regulation, from taxes to government contracting. The report includes an outlook for securities regulation, as well as commodities and derivatives, under the incoming Biden administration. A note from Suzanne Cosgrove, the World Economic Forum's annual meeting begins today, January 25th. Traditionally held in Davos, Closier, Switzerland, it's usually attended only by A-list global movers and shakers, but this year COVID-19 has forced it to go virtual, so it's open to everyone. Chinese President Xi Jinping, German Chancellor Angela Merkel, ECB President Christine Lagarde, and Dr. Anthony Fauci are among the expected speakers at the week-long event. Now a note from Sarah Rudolph. One of the panels on the first day of the Davos Forum is on resetting digital currencies and will feature Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey and Western Union CEO Hikmet Ersek, according to CoinDesk. A second Resetting Digital Currencies panel will be held on Thursday. John Lothian News has a new episode of The Spread, New Beginnings. This week on The Spread, Gary Gensler is nominated by President Joe Biden to be chairman of the SEC, TT, gets a new CEO, and more. You can watch the video on johnlothiannews.com. We have sponsored content, a special report, first year anniversary workshop of TOCOM-JPX Electricity Futures. Asia's most successful electricity futures at Tokyo Commodity Exchange and Japan Exchange Group celebrated its first year of listing with a co-hosted webinar with QuickCorp on December 15, 2020. This event was attended by over 250 people from 152 companies. At the workshop, the Director General of Commerce and Service Industry Policy at METI gave an opening remarks, and Mr. Ishibashi of AstMax Trading Inc. gave a keynote speech on electricity trading and risk management. In the panel discussion, traders from different power companies shared their experiences in using TOCOM electricity futures and their internal risk control systems. They pointed out that there is still a huge opportunity in electricity futures market in Japan, and requested the exchange to list a new product such as those converting the Hokkaido and Kyushu areas and change the product design to extend contract months. For more details, there's a link in today's John Lothian newsletter. From Bloomberg, Ken Griffin's Citadel Securities reaps record $6.7 billion in volatility. The surge came after some of its traders decamped from Chicago, New York to set up shop in a Palm Beach hotel in late March as the pandemic upended lives and markets across the globe. Citadel Securities went from strength to strength in 2020 as the pandemic spurred wild swings across finance. To cap the tumult, Ken Griffin's firm, one of the world's biggest market makers, just posted record revenue. Some of it from a rapidly constructed Florida trading floor. A comment by John Lothian. But other than that, how did they do? From Newly Purnell and Zhou-Yu Wang of Wall Street Journal. Dropping WhatsApp, nostalgia drives users to ICQ before social media was about algorithms and viral misinformation. Kids in Hong Kong loved a clunky instant messaging service used on dial-up PCs. Now they're grown up and back. WhatsApp users around the world who are worried about the company's shifting policy on data privacy are flocking to a rival messaging app such as Signal and Telegram. In Hong Kong, some are choosing an alternative that reminds them of their childhood. ICQ was pioneering mid-1990s internet messaging services, then used on bulky PCs on dial-up. It was a precursor to AOL Instant Messenger and was last in vogue when the TV show Friends was in its prime and Palm Pilots were cutting edge. A comment by John Lothian, the ICQ channel, hashtag futures, was co-founded by MarketsWiki co-founder John Matty. From Hughes Hong Wu of AP News, China pushes conspiracy theories on COVID origin vaccines. Chinese state media have stoked concern about Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine despite rigorous trials that showcased it was safe. A government spokesperson has raised an unfounded theory that the coronavirus could have emerged from a U.S. military lab, giving it more credence in China. As the ruling Communist Party faces growing questions about China's vaccines and renewed criticism of its early COVID-19 response, it is hitting back by encouraging conspiracy theories that some experts say could cause harm. Comment by Jeff Bergstrom, fake news going global. And now Friday's top three. Our top story Friday was the trades Brazil's B3 overtakes CME Group in ranking for largest derivatives exchange. Second was the press release, NASDAQ appoints Jeremy Skule chief strategy officer. Third was the FIA's report, global futures and options trading reaches record level in 2020. This is Patrick Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for January 26, 2021. And now a note from John Lothian. Janet Yellen was confirmed by the U.S. Senate as U.S. Treasury Secretary, the first woman to hold the position first occupied by Alexander Hamilton. The vote was 85-14, and the no votes included some people I'm sure she would not have wanted to vote yes for her. The DTCC and SIFMA issued statements congratulating Treasury Secretary Yellen on her confirmation. Sarah Ponczek of Bloomberg News shared on Twitter that 32 million call options traded yesterday, the second most on record, only behind a day last November. Former lab CFTC head Jeff Bandman has been appointed to the expert panel EU Blockchain Observatory and Forum to accelerate and strengthen Europe's understanding and adoption of the transformative new technology. The EU Blockchain Observation and Forum was created as a European Parliament pilot project in 2018 and is run under the aegis of the European Commission's Directorate General and Communications Networks, Content and Technology. Congratulations to Dan Davis, the former general counsel at the CFTC, for being hired by Catton in their Future Markets and Fund Group as a partner in the Washington, D.C. office. JLN recently negotiated a new sponsorship and subscription deal with the OCC, including a flat-price deal for an unlimited number of readers for the newsletter. We already have over 35 new OCC readers. Jeremy Grant, journalist and analyst extraordinaire, is the latest to donate to our JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Jeremy is most well known for his great work with the Financial Times, including stints in Chicago, London, and Singapore. He is the creator of the trading room at the FT, now staffed by Philip Stafford. Jeremy is now a freelance writer after a three-year stint with PwC. He is the type of journalist that inspires other journalists, and he is a friend. Thank you to Jeremy and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. I am going to start to swear more, gosh darn it, According to a CNN health story, swearing is a sign of intelligence and honesty and helps manage pain. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. A note from John Lothian. And now a note from Suzanne Cosgrove. Late last week, the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority said it awarded 80 grants totaling $31.5 million to dozens of organizations that serve low-income communities in the state, using revenues from 2020 cannabis sales. The grants are the first under the Restore, Reinvest, and Renew program mandated by the Illinois Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act of 2019. The act requires 25% of all cannabis revenue be used to support communities disproportionately affected by the war on drugs. Another note from Suzanne Cosgrove, CQG and PanExchange today announced they have added a new widget to the CQG desktop platform. The addition gives CQG clients direct access to PanExchange premium benchmarks and analysis content for hemp, frac sand, and East African OTC commodities. We have sponsored content, a special report, first year anniversary workshop of TOCOM-JPX Electricity Futures. Asia's most successful electricity futures at Tokyo Commodity Exchange and Japan Exchange Group celebrated its first year of listing with a co-hosted webinar with QuickCorp on December 15, 2020. This event was attended by over 250 people from 152 companies. At the workshop, the Director General of Commerce and Service Industry Policy at METI gave an opening remarks, and Mr. Ishibashi of AstMax Trading Inc. gave a keynote speech on electricity trading and risk management. In the panel discussion, traders from different power companies shared their experiences in using TOCOM electricity futures and their internal risk control systems. They pointed out that there is still a huge opportunity in electricity futures market in Japan, and requested the exchange to list a new product such as those converting the Hokkaido and Kyushu areas and change the product design to extend contract months. For more details, there's a link in today's John Lothian newsletter. From Catton, Catton adds ex-CFTC General Counsel to Financial Markets and Funds Group. Catton announced today that Daniel J. Davis, formerly General Counsel of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, has joined the firm's Financial Markets and Funds Group as a partner in its Washington, D.C. office, expanding Catton's industry-leading proficiency in derivatives, regulations, and raising the award-winning group's global profile. A comment by John Lothian, congratulations to Dan Davis on joining the great crew at Catton. From Andrew Ross Sorkin, Jason Carain, Michael J. De La Merced, Lauren Hirsch, and Efrat Livni of the New York Times, Larry Fink's new climate goal. The BlackRock chief plans to pressure companies to do more to cut carbon emissions, using the weight of his firm's $9 trillion in assets. The BlackRock chief's annual letter to CEOs is going out this morning, and Andrew has a copy, which he writes about in the latest column. Mr. Fink's letter has driven the conversation inside corporate America's boardrooms for years, such as his proclamation that companies must have a purpose beyond profit, which preceded the Business Roundtable statements on stakeholder capitalism and his call for corporate climate disclosures, which was followed by a raft of climate pledges by companies. A comment by John Lothian, I like leadership when I see it. Larry Fink is offering leadership right now. From Brody Ford of Bloomberg, IAC's Vimeo raises new funds at $6 billion valuation. New round doubles Vimeo's value in less than 3 months. Video software unit expected to be spun off by second quarter. Barry Diller's IAC said its video software company Vimeo is valued at about $6 billion after a recent funding round, nearly doubling the valuation before the unit is scheduled to be spun off early in the second quarter. A comment by John Lothian, Vimeo is one of two video platforms we use to publish JLN videos. YouTube is the other. From Pierre Palden and Ben Steverman of Bloomberg, what Leon Black got for paying Jeffrey Epstein $158 million. Law firm report details advice on tax planning, art and planes. Service helped Apollo co-founder saved at least $1 billion. Leon Black viewed Jeffrey Epstein as a confirmed bachelor with eclectic tastes who often employed attractive women. The private equity titan was willing to overlook that Epstein had served 13 months in a Florida jail after soliciting an underage prostitute. That was partly because Epstein claimed the girl had lied about her age, while Black, co-founder of Apollo Global Markets Inc., believed in second chances, particularly for his well-connected friend. A comment by John Lothian. No matter what Leon Black paid, he overpaid for the return he is getting. From Noah Pransky of NBC Washington. There's no coronavirus baby boom. It's more like a baby bust. Not even locking couples up and obliterating their social calendars could convince more Americans to have babies, as our quarantine-inspired baby boom has failed to materialize. Instead, America has entered a pandemic-inspired baby bust. Several states that keep track of births in near real time, as well as some hospital systems contacted by NBCLX, recorded significant drops in December of 2020 birth rates, compared to the same period from 1 year earlier. This includes Florida, down 8%, Ohio, down 7%, and Arizona, down 5%. A comment by John Lothian, who has time to boom boom when they are zoom zooming all day? And now Monday's top three. Our top story on Monday was Crane's Chicago businesses, Ken Griffin's Citadel Securities reaps record $6.7 billion on volatility. Second was Bloomberg's LIBOR marks important day with partial fix for derivative risk. Third was the trades Brazil B3 overtakes CME Group in rankings for largest derivatives exchange. This is Patrick Lothian with a daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for January 27th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at eurex.com. And now a note from John Lothian. Today we have a video for the Open Outcry Traders History Project in the newsletter. This video features our first IPE trader to be interviewed for the series, Olivier Ravel. Ravel gives some great color from his experience on the trading floor and noted he is sad for the traders of today that don't have the experience of working on the trading floor and meeting people from all over the world, from all different economic classes and educational backgrounds. This is something we lost with the move to electronic trading and the closing of the trading floors. I'm in Florida, not in Chicago, and the big snowstorm through Elmhurst only received about 6 inches of snow. I am on an odyssey to take my mom back to Florida and her home there. Today I leave to return to the Midwest and I'm stopping in South Carolina to see my former boss and mentor Tom Price and his wife Nancy. Tom is the owner of the Price Futures Group Inc., where I was president of electronic trading from 1997 to 2011. It was there that this newsletter was created and there that John J. Lothian & Company Inc. was incubated. We had 10 people working in the Price Group's office before we left to go into our own offices. I will be interviewing Tom and Nancy for the Open Outcry Traders History Project. Tom was a trader on the floor of the CME in the cattle pit after leaving Texas to come to Chicago. Nancy was a clerk on the floor, and clerks know everything as they have time to wander the floor and are not confined to a trading pit during market hours. It should be a fun couple of interviews. Masks will be worn and social distancing rules will be in practice for the interviews. Bloomberg's Justin Fox has a story that it seems money does buy happiness after all. Robin Trott, executive director of a Singapore-based consultancy, and Elizabeth Cook, a CME Group Inc. board member, are the latest to give to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Robin is a former Citi and JP Morgan executive. At Citi, he was a director and APAC head of electronic execution, futures, clearing, and collateral. And at JP Morgan, he led Asia Pacific trading solutions and was responsible for all e-trading clients in Asia, except for Japan. Elizabeth is the president and owner at McCat Group LLC, and president and owner of Lucky Star LLC. She is also a board member of Wild and of Associated Colleges of Illinois. She is a former floor trader on the CME, where she was the founding broker in the currency options in 1985, when they first started trading at the exchange. Thank you to Robin and to Elizabeth, and to all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated. With respect, equality, and justice. A note from John Lothian. And now a note from Matt Rabel. Jason Somansato of the cryptocurrency platform OX will be leaving the company to take on an advisory role at the CFTC. Somansato announced on Twitter that he will be working as a policy and tech specialist for Lab CFTC to build a deeper understanding of how crypto fintech intersects with regulation. And now a note from Suzanne Cosgrove, the International Monetary Fund's regular January update to its World Economic Outlook, published Tuesday, projects global economic growth at 5.5% in 2021 and a slower 4.2% growth rate in 2022. The IMF said its forecast for the 2021 partly reflects expectations for vaccine-powered activity later this year. The recovery is seen varying widely across countries, with the U.S. up 5.1% in 2021, compared with its 3.4% decline in 2020. We have some sponsored content in today's newsletter. A special report, first year anniversary workshop of TOCOM-JPX Electricity Futures. Asia's most successful electricity futures at Tokyo Commodity Exchange and Japan Exchange Group celebrated its first year of listing with a co-hosted webinar with QuickCorp on December 15, 2020. This event was attended by over 250 people from 152 companies. At the workshop, the Director General of Commerce and Service Industry Policy at METI gave an opening remarks, and Mr. Ishibashi of AstMax Trading Inc. gave a keynote speech on electricity trading and risk management. In the panel discussion, traders from different power companies shared their experiences in using TOCOM electricity futures and their internal risk control systems. They pointed out that there is still a huge opportunity in electricity futures market in Japan and requested the exchange to list a new product such as those converting the Hokkaido and Kyushu areas and change the product design to extend contract months. For more details, there's a link in today's John Lothian newsletter. A new article from Tom Thompson of John Lothian News, SEC Commissioner Pierce rolls out welcome mat for new chairman. Even though there are unknowns, there are potential benefits, is what SEC Commissioner Hester Pierce would like foreign regulators to keep in mind regarding cryptocurrency regulation. Her comment came in response to a question from Tom Quadman about working with the foreign regulators during the Center for Capital Markets Competitiveness virtual conference on digital assets. Quadman, an executive vice president at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's Center for Capital Markets Competitiveness, had asked the commissioner what she thought about international leaders like ECB President Christine Lagarde, who last week called for global cryptocurrency regulation. Pierce had been talking about the different approaches she saw regulators taking with regard to cross-border issues. Substituted compliance, compliance with a comparable foreign jurisdiction's regulations as a substitute for local regulation, and joint research into cryptocurrencies by regulators are two familiar approaches. To read the rest of the story, go to johnlothiannews.com. And now Tuesday's top three. Our top story on Tuesday was a CME announcement, CME Group to launch a global emissions offset futures contract on March 1st. The second most read was a fun story from CNN, why swearing is a sign of intelligence helps manage pain and more. And third was Bloomberg's, what Leon Black got for paying Jeffrey Epstein $158 million. This is Patrick Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for January 28th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at eurex.com. Now a note from John Lothian. Don't forget to register for FIA Boca V to be held on March 16th to 18th. While there will be no golf or endless meetings by the pool, there will be great content from our industry peers sharing their latest thoughts about industry trends and happenings. JLN will be providing coverage as we have for other recent FIA virtual conferences. There were no new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign overnight, but the campaign is nearing 10% of our goal. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. Do you have a story to tell about the path to electronic trading? How about the beginning of the financial futures? Or were you an open outcry trader? Contact me and let's talk about getting you interviewed for one of our stories. You can reach me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com. Would you like one of our The World Needs Journalists hoodies? I have some inventory. They are $45 plus shipping. Let me know. Speaking of hoodies, Bernie Sanders sold $1.8 million worth of merchandise with a picture of him and his mittens from the inauguration and donated it to charity. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated. With respect, equality, and justice. A note from John Lothian. And now a note from Matt Rabel. A luxury condo in Brighton, East Sussex, UK, has been listed for sale via Bitcoin and Ethereum. The seller is a cryptocurrency entrepreneur. I'm not familiar with UK property taxes, but I imagine they are no more fun than the ones we have to do in the US every year. And paying taxes on property you bought in Bitcoin is sure to be even more vexing than the usual amount. From Suzanne Cosgrove of John Lothian News, FIA 2020 volume review shows global growth, geographic evolution of industry. While activity in the futures and options was undeterred by the pandemic in 2020, logging record volume for a third year in a row, a closer look at data produced by the Futures Industry Association show a shift in recent years in where that volume occurred and what was most actively traded. In a webinar held Wednesday, Will Ackworth, Senior Vice President of Publications, Data, and Research at the FIA, acknowledged that much of the growth in 2020 derivatives trading was driven by nascent markets in India, China, and Brazil. In a ranking by 2020 volume, the National Stock Exchange of India was the leading global exchange, followed by Brazil's B3 at number 2. CME Group was ranked at number 3, according to the FIA. To read the rest of the story, visit johnlothiannews.com. We have some sponsored content today in the newsletter. A special report, first year anniversary workshop of TOCOM-JPX Electricity Futures. Asia's most successful electricity futures at Tokyo Commodity Exchange and Japan Exchange Group celebrated its first year of listing with a co-hosted webinar with QuickCorp on December 15, 2020. This event was attended by over 250 people from 152 companies. At the workshop, the Director General of Commerce and Service Industry Policy at METI gave an opening remarks, and Mr. Ishibashi of AstMax Trading Inc. gave a keynote speech on electricity trading and risk management. In the panel discussion, traders from different power companies shared their experiences in using TOCOM electricity futures and their internal risk control systems. They pointed out that there is still a huge opportunity in electricity futures market in Japan and requested the exchange to list a new product such as those converting the Hokkaido and Kyushu areas and change the product design to extend contract months. For more details, there's a link in today's John Lothian newsletter. From Jillian Tett of FT, has time lost meaning for you? Join the club. COVID-19 is teaching us that the symbols and structures that give shape to our lives do not need to be set in stone. For the past few weeks, a guilty secret has been lurking in my living room, a pine tree about 9 feet tall, with silver and gold ornaments and a wonky star on top. Yes, our Christmas tree, still. A comment by John Lothian, time has gone digital and moved from a tick to tock. From McCain Otani from the Wall Street Journal, Wall Street Bets founder reckons with legacy. Jamie Rogozinski likens recent surge in GameStop shares to a train wreck happening in real time. The man who created Reddit's Wall Street Bets isn't who you think he is. He's 39 years old, he lives in Mexico City with his wife, a physician, and spent his weeks chasing after their 3-year-old twins and tending to his day job as a consultant. Hardly the sort of character one might associate with the roiling investment forum. He never imagined the Reddit community he created in 2012 would morph into a force so powerful that it would send GameStop Corp shares into overdrive, nearly topple a hedge fund, and leave professional money managers around the country staring at Twitter with their mouths agape. Comment by John Lothian, the market will write his legacy. From Ezra Klein of the New York Times, the new virus strain make the next 6 weeks crucial. Let's not wait until we wrap the car around the tree to start pumping the brakes. I hope in the end that this article reads as alarmism. I hope that a year from now it's a piece people point to as overreaction. I hope. Coronavirus cases are falling. Vaccination numbers are rising. We are already jabbing more than 1 million people a day, which means President Biden's initial goal of 100 million vaccinations in 100 days was far too conservative. In California, where I live, Governor Gavin Newsom lifted the statewide stay-at-home order. It feels like a dawn is breaking. A comment by John Lothian, I am going to start to wear 2 masks instead of just one. And now Wednesday's top 3. Our most read story Wednesday was the Financial Times, Reddit traders wage battle against Wall Street. Second was Wall Street Journal's How GameStop's Reddit and Options-Fueled Stock Rally Happened. And more from Reddit and GameStop News was third, the New York Times, Can Anything Stop GameStop? This is Patrick Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for January 29th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Urex. Visit them at urex.com. And now a note from John Lothian. Bubbles, pump and dumps, good guys being bad guys trying to do good. Lots of people making money, some people making lots of money, lots of people losing money, some people losing lots of money, regulators alarmed, politicians alarmed, strange bedfellows agreeing, clearing firms calling for more capital, problems because of T+2, strange comments from everywhere, trying to blame the other guy, John Stewart joining Twitter just to comment, all this and more in today's newsletter. I interviewed Tom Price of the Price Group yesterday. I learned that he studied pre-med and finance and was accepted to medical school but decided to pursue finance instead. I heard the story about the president of CME offering him 10 memberships at a good price that he turned down because he was concerned about the annual fees. He said it was the worst trade he never made. I also learned that the CME was trying to sell the memberships because they had an agreement to buy the memberships back from members who went off to serve in the Vietnam War, and those were some of the memberships they were offering Tom. Lots of industry history in the interview. Thank you to Tom and his wife Nancy for this hospitality yesterday. Just after I left Greenville, South Carolina yesterday, I received a call from my swag vendor, the one who provides us with the nice drawstring bags for the Markets Wiki education events. He is located in Greenville, South Carolina, which I had forgotten. I am going to write a story about him and his business, as there are some interesting things going on in the swag business in light of the pandemic and lack of in-person events. I stopped in Louisville, Kentucky today on my way back to Chicago. The Louisville Slugger Museum is on the schedule before we leave. There were no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Support industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. A note from John Lothian. And now a note from Suzanne Cosgrove. While it's still very early in 2021, index provider FTSE Russell said Thursday that a comparison of its Asia and emerging markets indexes shows that those that include ESG criteria are beginning to outperform their parent indexes year to date as of January 25th. The FTSE Emerging Asia ESG Index, for example, has returned nearly 13% versus 1.3% for its parent non-ESG index. FTSE Russell partnered with the Singapore Exchange Limited for SGX's launch on Monday of index futures based on FTSE Russell ESG benchmarks. And now a note from Sarah Rudolph. The SEC released a statement today from Acting Chair Lee and Commissioners Pierce, Roseman, and Crenshaw about the recent market volatility, which begins, "The commission is closely monitoring and evaluating the extreme price volatility of certain stocks' trading prices over the past several days. Our core market infrastructure has proven resilient under the weight of this week's extraordinary trading volumes. Nevertheless, extreme stock price volatility has the potential to expose investors to rapid and severe losses and undermine market confidence." A note from Jeff Bergstrom. John Stewart, former host of The Daily Show, joined Twitter for the first time yesterday to weigh in on the GameSpot Reddit story. He said in part, "The Redditors aren't cheating, they're joining a party Wall Street insiders have been enjoying for years." We have sponsored content in the newsletter today. A special report, first year anniversary workshop of TOCOM-JPX Electricity Futures. Asia's most successful electricity futures at Tokyo Commodity Exchange and Japan Exchange Group celebrated its first year of listing with a co-hosted webinar with QuickCorp on December 15, 2020. This event was attended by over 250 people from 152 companies. At the workshop, the Director General of Commerce and Service Industry Policy at METI gave an opening remarks, and Mr. Ishibashi of AstMax Trading Inc. gave a keynote speech on electricity trading and risk management. In the panel discussion, traders from different power companies shared their experiences in using TOCOM electricity futures and their internal risk control systems. They pointed out that there is still a huge opportunity in electricity futures market in Japan, and requested the exchange to list a new product such as those converting the Hokkaido and Kyushu areas and change the product design to extend contract months. For more details, there's a link in today's John Lothian newsletter. From Annabelle Smith of The Trade, LSEG completes $27 billion Refinitiv acquisition. After confirming earlier this month the deal would complete on January 29th, LSEG has completed its blockbuster acquisition of Refinitiv. The London Stock Exchange Group has completed its transformational acquisition of data and analytics giant Refinitiv for $27 billion. LSEG has been working towards closing the deal for almost a year and a half after confirming plans to acquire Refinitiv in August of 2019. A comment by John Lothian, no GameStop for LSEG, it is now game on. From Jordan Bevan of Mobile Markets reads, Robinhood and Reddit top the app store following GameStop mania. Stock trading and investing app Robinhood and social networking platform Reddit rise to the top of the app store chart following the GameStop mania, and Google deletes 100,000 negative Robinhood reviews. Comment by John Lothian, no surprise here. From Madeline Mendoza of the Houston Chronicle, San Antonio 10-year-old cashes in on GameStop stocks he was gifted 2 years ago. When Jaden Carr unwrapped his GameStop shares his mom gifted him for Kwanzaa 2 years ago, neither mother nor son expected he'd eventually be in the middle of a stock surge. Stock talks this week are centered on small investors, but Jaden might be the smallest and youngest, at least in San Antonio. He became a GameStop shareholder on December 30th, 1929, when he was 8, long before Reddit users combined then skyrocketed the price of the struggling gaming company's shares from single to triple digits. Blindsiding Wall Street. The now 10-year-old fifth grader is reeling from the excitement of selling his first set of stocks amid the GameStop trading frenzy. A comment by John Lothian. My father always said it was better to be lucky than smart. From Elizabeth Rosner and Tamar Lappin of the New York Post. New York City protesters slam Robinhood, scream at Wall Street traders amid GameStop stock chaos. A few dozen people gathered at the New York Stock Exchange on Thursday to protest investing app Robinhood and badger Wall Street traders amid the ongoing GameStop stock chaos. Several at the protests were spotted tailing people leaving the building, yelling shame and eat the rich. A comment by John Lothian, if you eat the rich, I suggest Grey Poupon. And now Thursday's top three. Thursday was another all GameStop, all the time day. Our top story was the New York Times, dumb money is on GameSpot and it's beating Wall Street at its own game. Second was Bloomberg's, Reddit crowd bludgeons Melvin Capital in warning to industry. Third was the Wall Street Journal's, Wall Street Bets founder reckons with legacy amid stock market frenzy about Jamie Rogozinski. Crypto Markets Wiki coin of the week is the Dogecoin. GameStop stock wasn't the only asset driven up in value this week by the coordinated efforts of retail investors. Dogecoin, a cryptocurrency created as a joke, surged this week as users on the Reddit thread Satoshi Street Bets enthusiastically agreed to buy the cryptocurrency to drive up its price. It jumped over 500% since Wednesday, boosted by Elon Musk's tweet about it. This pushed Doge into the top 10 biggest cryptocurrencies in the world by market cap. Users on Reddit joked that Dogecoin is the first dog on the moon. And now your Markets Wiki stats. 198,797,582 pages viewed of 25,217 pages. And there have been 229,722 edits. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at eurex.com. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. This has been Patrick Lothian. Have a great day.